Hadi bakalım. Hadi bakalım. Hadi bakalım.
In a world where security cameras mysteriously fail, guards take perfectly timed naps, and billionaires develop a sudden case of terminal clumsiness, where governments take orders from shadowy men on private islands, one man stood alone to fight for disclosure. Congress cheers the Epstein files open. Trump calls him a traitor. MAGA howls in betrayal. Both parties scramble to relock the vault. He didn't kneel. He forced the real reckoning. Thomas Massey, the last honest man in Washington. The storm begins now.
Fuck, that looks good.
It's just like a James Bond movie.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, welcome to an episode of Human Reaction, everybody. Thanks for being here.
If you want Bennett to produce that movie for us, hit the like button.
And leave us your comment below to tell
help
us who you think David sounds like the most. My money's on James Earl Jones right now.
Ooh.
Mine's Optimus Prime.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Pedophiles roll out.
Do it.
Pedophiles roll out.
Okay. That's going on the stream deck.
Your
for
lack
sure.
of faith is disturbing. Yeah.
No, I'm going Kratos.
Fair.
Boy. Yeah. That's my voice right now. Sorry. You got to listen to it.
Yep, David is a little under the weather, but we're making the most of it here.
David
in the studio.
Just got us so many more female listeners.
This is true.
Is that what the ladies want?
I don't know.
Hey, ladies,
I don't know.
Would you like to learn about economics?
Ladies, let us know in the comments if that is what you want.
Oh my God, ew, David!
Okay, enough fun. We're here to talk about pedophiles.
Epstein file release 2.0.
I feel like, yeah, this is at very least part 2.5. You know, this is like a mid version update. Like, yeah, exactly. Some bug fixes in there, probably.
2S.
It's a patch fix. There was a quick hot fix that was needed to be done.
Well, yeah, I mean, the files were about to get released, so they had to patch that really fast.
Well, you gotta put some nerfs on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Devs do something.
Devs do something. The files are about to be released. Well, so where do we find ourselves in this whole saga? Let's lay the groundwork, please, James.
National security is at risk. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, why would it put national security at risk, though? Why would releasing a pedophile list put national security at risk? It's the goose. It's the goose meme.
Good question.
It's a good meme.
I think the goose sounds like David. That's how I'm forever going to read this meme in the future is, why would it put national security at risk? Why would releasing a pedophile?
It's not goosey to me.
It's not very goosey.
Dave's voice is not goosey. I don't picture Dave as a goose.
More of a business goose.
True. Yeah, you're like the evil like capitalist billionaire in the high back chair, yeah, you know, in his tower, lording over
I
Gotham.
See, you've made it all the way here. Yeah, that's what I'm here. Yeah. He's petting. Find out my grand plan.
He's petting a business goose.
But yeah, so context is we have Joe Rogan was on with Theo Von. They talked about kind of like the buildup. Like this is like to capture the vibe of the moment. Is all this pressure on Thomas Massey about this effort. And I think this is, you know, it's a tremendous white pill for the Republic to a degree that you could still have things come together to do accomplish something that's very, very popular that the public wants. And so in this context, Joe Rogan asked Theo Von about it.
Yeah, I don't know if I have people that's that dangerous. Maybe Thomas Massey.
Oh, did you have him on?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all hate him right now. This is a sad thing about both political parties, not just the right, but the left too, is they decide that they're going to gang up on someone for not toeing the line.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever happened to having different opinions? whatever happened to having different perspectives and being able to argue your perspective. But yeah. Then they have these goofy ass bills.
How dare you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and this is interesting because, you know, Thomas Massey takes a lot of the rules that Ron Paul used to take in terms of just being the guy, the odd man out, Dr. No, you know, is what he was called.
Right.
And that used to be a very tolerable place in the House of Representatives, but it's become a very intolerant place as the margins have narrowed and the speaker has become so centrally powerful.
Yeah.
We also have the MTG saga, too, on top of this. So everybody's kind of fracturing apart right now where Trump withdrew his endorsement of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's always been kind of a firecracker in the House. She's always kind of polarizing figure in the House in a lot of ways, but always a devout MAGA person. And now she is now under the ire of everything, too. And here's her on CNN talking about it.
I stood with President Trump when virtually no one else did. Campaigned all over the country, spent millions of my own dollars helping him get elected. And I think that's incredibly important. And I do support him and his administration. And I support them in delivering the campaign promises we made to the American people. His remarks, of course, have been hurtful. However, I have something in my heart that I think is incredibly important for our country. And that is to end the toxic fighting in politics. And this has been going on for years, and it has divided our country, split up friends and families, neighbors, and it's not solving our problems. The most hurtful thing he said, which is absolutely untrue, is he called me a traitor. And that is so extremely wrong. And those are the types of words used that can radicalize people against me and put my life in danger.
I know words. I have the best words.
What do you think is the reason for this?
Unfortunately, it has all come down to the Epstein files, and that is shocking. And, you know, I stand with these women. I stand with rape victims. I stand with children who are in terrible sex abuse situations, and I stand with survivors of trafficking and those that are trapped in sex trafficking. And I will not apologize for that. I believe the country deserves transparency in these files, and I don't believe that rich, powerful people should be protected if they have done anything wrong. And so I'm standing with the women, and I will continue to do my small part to get the files released.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
See, I was really waiting for that one.
Perfectly timed.
That was the one. That was the one. Yeah, I mean, well, to the point of that perfectly timed soundbite, I mean, this has really caused a lot of bad things to happen for Trump. So many, in fact, that it seems he's entirely switched his whole position on releasing the Epstein files. I think there was a huge backlash on the internet, and now here we find ourselves. He doesn't care if they're released, right? At least allegedly.
That's that. Yeah, go to the next one, Kyle. Here, it's the Truth tweet owner. He does that, and he basically winds out this long-winded, you know, justification how it's just to distract from all the great wins of the administration, but Republicans should vote for it because ultimately it's going to hurt the Democrats more than the Republicans.
And there seems to be some truth to that. It looks like Larry Summers has resigned his spot on the board of OpenAI after being revealed as an Epstein, you know, client or something, you know, some sort of collaborator in the files that were just released. And it seems like Harvard has now started an investigation against him. So, and he was, you know, he's a huge core central Democrat. I believe he was Obama's like an economic advisor or something like that. I forget the exact title.
Did Larry give a reason for that?
His resignation?
Yeah. Like, was it directly because of this, or what was his reasoning?
It was directly timed after this. Yeah, I don't know that he has come out and said, whoopsie daisy, I'm in the Epstein files. I'm out, y'all.
But I'm sure it's coincidence.
It is interesting.
I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
Yeah. So he was the economist at the World Bank, former president of Harvard. He's the director of National Economic Council under Obama.
That's right.
And the former U.S. Treasury Secretary under Clinton.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So big guy in the party.
Yeah, he's been around forever. Yeah. Major figure for the Democrats.
He's definitely been around.
Now, I mean, the question in my mind is like, I mean, while he is sort of a very central Democratic figure in the party, is he sort of like a sacrificial lamb in a sense? Because he's obviously not one of the big names that people feel like they want to see substantiated in these files releases. I mean, namely Bill Clinton, for example, or Podesta or whatever. One of these like guys who have been sort of the central part of the whole Epstein web that the internet has woven, the sort of myth around it that we haven't yet like fully substantiated with evidence.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I don't know who people want to be on the list as much as or in association. You know, as we said in the podcast before, there is probably no list, right?
Right.
There's no like, here are all the guys I, you know, got dirt on over my career. That would be a very autistic sort of thing to do, is just start making lists of the people he got dirt on.
If there was an actual list, that would be very circumvent for, like, we could be looking at that as, that's not the real list. You know what I mean? Like, if there was an actual list, like, that would be
sort of a red herring.
That would be a planted thing.
Yeah, you'd think. Well, I mean, but there was apparently a black book of some kind. I mean, Epstein kept some kind of record. Wasn't there allegations of that?
Out on the open market. You can go buy it.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it's like $72,000 or something like that.
To buy the actual book?
I could look it up. Yeah. So somebody bought it. I don't think it's on the market.
All right.
Anymore.
So we're starting a GoFundMe to buy Epstein's black book.
Yeah. What's the Epstein's? Let me look that up. Epstein's black book open on market.
Yeah. So the black book was the, it wasn't like a diary, right? It was his flight logs and records of people that he'd been around. What we're getting now is his discourse as he's trying to network in, mostly in the time period, at least with the most recent release, the Republicans release, which I have a little bit on the story on that later, is mostly his efforts to try to just get within Republican and Democrat elite circles by saying, I have special information that only I can give you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Open bidding last year on Epstein's book went up for auctions, bid starting at $35,000.
That's it.
Those are rookie numbers. We got to get those numbers.
been put up on private sale and drew offers in the area of $100,000, according to the auctioneer. The offers were then rejected. I remember when this was happening. So wow. There's the book that everybody is like, you go buy it.
Who's selling it?
Maryland-based Alexander Historical Auctions.
I think we should investigate them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
How'd they get it?
I don't remember. This was a story a while back. I remember when it was a thing that happened.
This is a rabbit hole we probably don't need to go down. Yeah. A little bit tangential, but still curious.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, he did have a very wide reach, as we covered last week, from Bannon to other folks that he was in dialogue with on both sides. The question whether or not it hurts the worst, you know, the biggest people on the left, that's always seemed pretty clear to me, given his association with Clintons for a very long time.
Yeah.
Well, his kind of primary operating days was when Bill Clinton was president, too. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of the most likely target for anything, whether it be blackmail or just deal juicing or whatever it might be. There could be a lot of things of what it was, but even in a lot of the emails that came out last week, there was a lot of kind of him just being like him not liking Bill Clinton too. There was a lot of that was in the emails, which is kind of funny. It's kind of like, this guy I have to work with kind of a thing, but I don't really like him. Like there was a lot of that was in there.
But also he seems kind of bitchy. You know, it's like to everyone else around him, whenever that person's not in the emails, like that fucking douchebag, you know what I mean?
I mean, is that the way he kind of played across the aisle? Is he just like talk dirt on, you know, the other side to like talk dirt on Clinton to the Republican people and vice versa? He kind of just, you know, made gossip. I mean, it doesn't seem like something he wouldn't do.
What is interesting is the degree to which he was fluent in both sides. And you kind of see when you look at the totality of it, how much the whole thing was a game to him. Mm-hmm. So like during the Kavanaugh situation, Trump won, he was texting, I think, with Steve Bannon about it, and like, you know, he's talking about Chevron defense in it. that's something I knew about as like someone in the conservative legal circles. Not something that you would guess that this guy would know, but apparently someone had let him know that that was a major priority of the conservatives at the time and was like appealing to, oh, I can help him get out of these allegations and that sort of thing.
Interesting. Yeah. Power broker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's kind of been the mainline thing. Because I think people often get bogged down in the blackmail thing when there's not actually a whole lot of evidence of blackmail per se, but like the access aspect of this is where the real story is. It's like he's a go-between guy. He's a fixer. He kind of facilitates deals happening with this country and this country or this corporation in this country. And he – and in a lot of ways, the girls that he comes with him are kind of – it's almost like a nightclub promoter. It was like, I'm bringing the girls with me kind of a thing to kind of make a good environment for deal-making and fun times to be had at resorts and things like that. Like, and he has kind of like a sugar daddy relationship with these girls is what it appears to me always. Like, that's kind of what he was. Like, I think people get too hung up on like, he's clearly blackmailing on people. And it's just like, there's not actually that much evidence of that per se. Like that's a lot of speculation on top of it. And if he was blackmailing for 30 years, like that's a thing that probably doesn't last as a 30-year operation for a long time, if that's the case.
Well,
that's a thing that
I mean,
gets
unless
exposed.
There's backing to it outside of just him doing it, right? I mean, if he was a lone actor doing that, yeah, of course, there would be ways for powerful people to kind of neutralize him as a threat. But if there's entire nation states' intelligence apparatuses working with him, I don't think that's as easy to kind of just deal with.
Yeah, to me, it almost my assumption has gone where if there's blackmail material, that almost seems to be more like his own safety net rather than it is like using it as a coercive thing to get people to do something. Because once you start doing that, that starts to get around with people in power networks where it's just like, don't trust that Epstein guy. But like, there wasn't that was going, like, there's not really evidence of that. Everybody kind of got along with him and, you know, he was kind of creepy. He got high on his own supply sometimes. He's part of the, you know, the Khashoggi stuff, who was kind of like an access agent, arms dealer guy for, in the Middle East too. And he was kind of like that. He was like Hugh Hefner in the Middle East kind of. He's just like this like fat, ugly man that has all these girls around him in his harem, right? Like, and then he's deal juicing everywhere.
So I think the like you said, the extortion happens on a very subtle level, and that's the best kind of extortion, right? When I'm around this guy, I have a really great time with beautiful women, and my wife doesn't know about it.
And it's so all about round the clock sex. It's all, come on, man.
Well, yeah. A lot of it doesn't even have to be sex or anything, or like massages and stuff like that. Like, it's just kind of like,
or
there's girls
doing
around
math
for
equations too high up.
Oh my gosh.
I forgot.
Thank you so
that.
Much for bringing that
by
back.
By far my favorite. I don't care if it's fake. It's the funniest thing.
That was the Hawking's thing, right?
Yeah. That was Stephen
Hawking. Yeah, that was the Stephen Hawking's thing. That's wow. Right. I remember for a thumbnail on a video, Bennett was really like, Kyle, use Midjourney. Try to get Stephen Hawking with women at a blackboard doing math equations. We need it for a thumbnail.
Not just women, Kyle.
Midgets.
Yes, midgets.
Too high up. They can't quite reach.
They can't quite reach it.
It's so funny because he's in a wheelchair, so there's lots of things that he can't reach if he could reach.
That's the power fantasy.
That's the power fantasy. For sure.
Taking them down a peg.
And they'll never solve the problem because they can't actually reach the board.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. It's multi-layered.
So many layers.
I can't remember. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
What was that part of?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
it came out of some leak or something. I can't remember.
Oh, God. That
like a text message thread or something? I can't remember. Yeah.
Just killed me. It was so funny.
It was a better time then.
That was a
time. We had hope.
That was a weird time.
So we do have hope now. This week, the discharge petition did succeed in the House of Representatives, 427-1. It was then immediately passed by the Senate. It's due for transmittal to the president, which we'll probably see a signature within the next few days.
Do we know who the one was?
I got him right here. Rep Clay Higgins says, this is the one vote on it that voted against. I have been a principled no on this bill from the beginning. What was wrong with the bill 3 months ago is still wrong today. It abandons 250 years of criminal justice procedure in America. As written, this bill reveals and injures thousands of innocent people, witnesses, people who provided alibis, family members, etc. It If enacted in its current form, this type of broad reveal of criminal investigative files released to a rabid media will absolutely result in innocent people being hurt. Not by my vote. Your vote doesn't matter. You were one person. Oversight Committee is conducting a thorough investigation that has already released well over 60,000 pages of documents from the Epstein case. That effort will continue in a manner that provides all due protections for innocent Americans. If the Senate amends the bill to properly address that, this doesn't matter because the Senate has kind of moved on by this point. This happened before it got to the Senate.
Very principled. No. But, is he known for making principled votes on things? Do we know much about this guy?
I don't know him.
Not really, no.
I don't know him.
But, you know, what's interesting is the degree to which the bill does already allow for exactly the things that he's talking about. In fact, that's one of the criticisms of the bill, is it allows for ongoing investigations or people who are, you know, it prohibits from doing it just out of embarrassment because it leans towards full disclosure. But it says, like, you know, particularly like the people who are actually victimized by Epstein is allowed to be able to be redacted. So it's a tricky place he put himself in, because of all the things to really step out and like go forward, this is a weird one, you know.
It is. It definitely arouses some suspicion about his motives. You know, even as principled as he wants to come across here, it's sort of like, are you trying to hide something on someone's behalf?
I don't know.
Not that it's going to work. I mean, it clearly didn't.
Maybe he was just going for that fat engagement. 3.7 mil.
Yeah, maybe so.
some good engagement on that one.
That's not bad.
Maybe it's just rage baiting.
Oh, God. We have Congress people rage baiting on X.
They are just taxpayer funded influencers at the end of the day.
Yes.
That's always how you should look at these.
Yes,
people.
That's a really bizarre and dark way to view it, but I think you're actually right. That feels right.
I am getting a note from Bennett here. I believe it's from Bennett. Somebody in the notes.
This is a conspiracy theory.
Is saying, Kyle, look at this.
Yeah. What is real motivation?
Okay, wait, go up. Let's read this. The only member of Congress who voted no on releasing the Epstein files, quote, "Do you care more about the U.S. or Israel?" He says, "That's like asking if I love my daughter or my wife more." Let's watch the clip.
Okay, so can you answer the original question? Who do you care about more, U.S. or Israel?
There's no variance. It's like you're asking, you know, do you love your wife more than your daughter?
Well,
it's a simple question.
It is.
Do you love your wife more than your daughter?
I love the United States more than I love Israel. It's a very simple question.
Great love, and you as a human being, you express that love, and you have core principles that drive you to your love for your wife and your love for your daughter. It's two different loves, but neither of them is greater than the other. You understand?
Who's the priority when you're
casting? This is weird.
That is weird.
Oh.
That is, maybe that's the motivation. I would feel weird if that's like the motivation in itself, because, you know, of all these people that are of similar mind that did vote yes on this.
Really, yeah. 19 grand isn't that much. But,
that's actually a good point. It's actually a very low ball number.
But, I mean, obviously,
his love's pretty cheap.
but it is an ideological alignment, but I'm not sure that's not, you know, kind of forcing the theory circumstantially, of course.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's more of an implication than anything else.
I do think it's forcing the theory. I just happened to see it right before the show.
It is so funny.
But it's a question mark that is outstanding. Like, why be so principled on this thing? And yeah. I'm sure his voting record is probably, and I haven't investigated it thoroughly, but probably full of other things where he's compromised principles for deal making and, you know, other benefits for his district or whatever.
Yeah, this isn't a vote that's going to make you friends. Right?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to come up to you in the halls of the Capitol and go, "Hey, really, really respect your decision on that." Yeah, good job.
Yeah, good job on that one there. I don't know. It just seems like just from a game theory point of view, like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter where you stand on any issue, really. It's just like, this is a weird one to have and make a tweet for principles
on. It's a weird hill to die on.
Yeah. Especially because I'm not sure I really understand his concern, right? Because it is true that since the 1940s, we've had this sort of secrecy around federal information. But prior to that time, you know, most court documents are actually very quite public in the Western tradition. If you're brought to trial, you are, you know, like, that's usually public information. You have a right to know that information, typically. So it's strange that he would try to make this like, this is our tradition. We're violating this old tradition. When really what we're talking about in this case, when it comes to a federal prosecution of this kind, that's really, that's full of, you know, international espionage. Yeah. It's really only since the 1930s.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, what did he get for his principled stand? Doesn't seem like any standing ovation from the president. In fact, as we mentioned earlier, the president has changed his tune on the whole thing altogether at this point, right?
Yeah, and what's most interesting about that is to the degree to which the MAGA influencers have tried to like go with him on it and how torturous it is, you know? This is from...
When you say MAGA influencers, do you mean ones that were originally supporting his objection to releasing the Epstein files? Just
Twitter influencers in general.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like people who are just like Trump, spent the election saying how important the Jeffrey Epstein files were, now have been saying it's a Democrat hoax for the last few months, are now saying...
And now it's like the this. Democrats fell into a trap. It's kind of the narrative that's being pushed forward.
The old 5D chess line again. over that.
It's like, holy shit, Trump is going scorched earth on Epstein's actual friends like Bill Clinton and Larry Summers. He calls them out for going on the island. Now the Overton window has shifted and left were baited into caring about Epstein. It's time.
It's time.
Yeah. Biggest backfire in history from cat turd.
I mean, in a sense, it is like a backfire in a sense because of like Larry Summers and things like that. But it is one of those things is like how much of this is like calculated game theory and how much of this is just kind of flipping because of internet sentiment. And, you know, like all of those things are kind of up in the air. It's like, you know, Trump kind of goes with the winds on all of those things all the time.
I mean,
right?
So the game theory would be that Trump resisted releasing the Epstein files to get the Democrats to want to, so that Thomas Massie, who was somehow secretly, you know, collaborating with Donald Trump to put up this whole, you know, discharge petition, got the Democrats to vote for it. And now Trump is like, haha, gotcha. Like that's the theory.
Well, that seems to be their theory. Like the thing that I would say to give Trump more credit on this is something that I think is probably true is something that he was saying months ago on the Epstein files, which is that there's probably a lot of embedded information and kind of, like misinformation that's swarmed throughout these like email, like fabricated emails and things like that. Like when Trump's talking about a Democrat hoax with the Epstein files, that's what he's talking about, is that there's kind of this collusion in the same way that Russiagate had, where there's like a manufacturing of information in order to sway public opinion one way or the other.
So false evidence might be inserted into the document releases.
Which is something if I was them, I would do that too. Like if I was in the Obama administration, that's what I would do.
Yeah, for example, like the reason why we got this most recent 20,000 bulk drop from the committee was that the House Democrats in the Oversight Committee on the morning of November 12th, they dropped three specific emails from Jeffrey Epstein sent to Maxwell. I'm not able to say it right now.
That's all right.
And author Michael Wolff. It referenced Donald Trump.
Just call
her G. Yeah.
G. Maxwell.
The emails referenced to Trump in potentially damaging ways, which is strange because like if the international pedophile sex trafficking fraudster hates your guy, isn't that a good thing? Like it's so strange that's like,
no, there was tweets from there's tweets from the Democrats Twitter page that was like it's a slam dunk because Epstein says that Trump was a bad guy. it was like what
so if a bad guy says your guy is a bad guy, does it mean he's actually a good guy or he's an extra, extra bad guy?
Negative plus negative. Negative times negative equals positive. Yeah.
You have to have already embedded in your in your worldview that Trump is bad in order to follow that. And, you know, there's...
Trump was so bad, even Epstein hated him.
That's a crazy argument.
But, like, that's what a lot of was the narrative flow from the Democrats was around this, around last week's file drops. And that in itself was just kind of... I was like, you need better comms people.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's just that's going on there with the Democrats.
But it's kind of like anything you can do to try to just get a bad media turn, because you know it freaks Trump out, maybe. It's just trying to play head games. Maybe that was their theory. But then the response from this was Republicans dropping all of these pages, which includes the stuff from
well that was because they were very, the Democrats were very selective in their drop.
Yeah.
And that made it, you know, and it's where if you're just like looking at it at all, you're like, okay, well, if you're being selective in your drop, it's kind of like, okay,
what are you hiding?
You're trying to, well, and that's a lot of the stuff that was dropped there were things that have already been dropped, but they redacted names on the drop in order to make the narrative look different. Like they redacted Virginia Guffrey's or Guffrey's name in there, which would make her like contradict what she said in her testimony in trial before, because she's the victim that died in Australia this year.
She died?
Yeah. Oh. In March she died. She was suicidal, got hit by a bus. It's really confusing and complicated. She was in the middle of getting divorced and her kids were getting taken away from her husband because she was kind of crazy.
Whoa.
Like there's a whole story that's back there. There's a lot of things that it makes me question her sometimes in her story. Like she's Kyle, a bit of an oddball.
Don't victim shame.
But yeah, I know. Like, that's not going to get me likes, right? Yeah. But
it is true that she wasn't always the most reliable witnesses in many things that we've that
fighting with other victims all the time.
Yeah.
Like her stories contradicting with other victim stories. Like it gets really weird, and it's where it's messy, and there's probably stuff going on with these people too, right? Because this is a very embedded intelligence networks from around the world, all part of the story, right? So there's going to be a lot of intelligence embedding that happens with this.
Ah, it just makes you yearn for a world where people are generally good. Well, and the world's nice not world. Run by, you know, pedophile state actors.
So I do think that this theory that Trump is playing 5D chess and was doing all this to maneuver Democrats into a position where they had to support the Epstein files might be true. But it seems to me more like this is the result of Trump trying to protect particular people who are implicated on the right, and the left getting so over their skis about trying to embarrass Trump during his administration so that they could have potential electoral wins in the midterms, that they may be overextended. And then we're going to have, you know, the investigations can now be selective on the Republican side. And so what gets released is actually the Democrats.
Okay, so that's kind of moving on to the next topic of this, which I think has upset a lot of people at first blush, which is Pam Bondi coming out and saying, we're going to activate some new investigations around this stuff, which a lot of people see as a way to sort of re-lock down certain parts of the Epstein files that might be the parts that we want to see, right? And so a lot of people are mad at Pam Bondi, but you're saying the potential is basically for her to be selective in what they're investigating to reveal more things about Democrats?
Yeah, because they can lock up the Republicans by investigating them and then dropping the investigation.
So they right. They investigate the Republicans, lock up the files, and release all the stuff on the Democrats.
That could be what they do. Because, as I said last week, this has become a political gun. All you do is use it to shoot the other party, right? And with that, you know, it's kind of leading. They still have tools at their hands to use this. If you ask her, though, she'll tell you that it's not because of the discharge petition. It's because new information came out.
From where?
Is this the clip that we're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
New investigation by the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney prevent the department from releasing all of the remaining files.
So we have released over 33,000 Epstein documents to the Hill, and we'll continue to follow the law. And to have maximum transparency. Also, we will always encourage all victims to come forward.
What are the next steps, Madam Attorney General, for the DOJ regarding what we assume President Trump will sign into law with the Epstein files? Is this going to be on the Justice Department website? What are you doing here over the next 30 days, as we understand it?
We will continue to follow the law with maximum transparency while protecting victims.
When you say follow the law, Madam Attorney General,
you weren't a liar.
You will provide all the files by 30 days?
We will follow the law. The law passed both chambers last evening. It has not yet been signed, but we will continue to follow the law again while protecting victims, but also providing maximum transparency.
Madam Attorney General, the DOJ statement earlier this year saying that the files would not release.
Is this AI
mentioned the fact that
Cash Patel just staring
view
into space.
Of the documents and the evidence
like
did not suggest
that
into, any additional investigation.
That's just what I picture.
Harry, don't go into the light.
Yeah, so that next question is where she says, new information came up. And that's all she says, right? Okay. Just like the rest of it, we're going to follow the law, new information. It's bullshit, right? I mean, is anyone else's bullshit meter going
you
up?
Can't handle the truth.
I just couldn't help but see this in the guy on the right over her shoulder.
Wait, go back.
Yeah, go back to the video. Good. To the beginning.
Nah, that's pretty good still.
Make it bigger.
Here, let me...
Jesus Christ.
Let me just do a little...
This is the shit I think about when we watch Pam Bondi give a press conference.
I could not help but watch Cash the whole time.
Yeah. Just so you guys know, like, I'm getting sent these things mid-podcast all the time. It's very distracting. Like, my notes for me getting all the clips is just flaring up. Kyle, show this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he has serious grumpy catfish.
Sorry for the listeners who are just listening, but the guy over Pam Bondi's shoulder, who is not Cash Patel, looks like Grumpy Cat. And anyways, moving on.
All right.
So how are the majority of the political right feeling about Pam Bondi right now? Are people in favor of this move because it's somehow tactical against the Democrats, or are people outraged by it?
I have not heard anyone advocate for the theory I just put out.
We're breaking new shit right here.
No, it's a theory. If
James
Earl
Jones coming to the table with some brand new hot shit right now.
Pam Bondi's like, I'm changing the deal.
Pam Bondi, roll out.
Epstein files will not roll out.
DOJ. Deploy. Okay, so Trump, or Massey accused Trump of launching some of this. We don't have to get into the video of it, but he did an interview on the Daily Mail where he kind of lays out that theory of this could be a way that they actually overt justice. So, you know, like, he's concerned about it, but I think he's concerned about it from the clearest, this is about absolute transparency and getting to the real place where if you did something wrong, you know, the public's got to know about it. And we can't trust. And this is like the underlying value here. No one trusts the FBI.
Totally.
No one trusts the DOJ.
Well, I mean, dude, we've just had Tucker do the whole expose he did on Thomas Crux and how did Tucker Carlson give us more information on the guy who shot the president than the FBI?
Mm. Because a lone investigator privately on their own time.
How did a lone investigator
gave it to Tucker Carlson? And that's crazy. You know, that's an insane moment.
Well, I think that it comes down to a lot of the reasons for shielding all of this. It is kind of like what Mike Johnson said, where it's like national security risk or whatever, but it's like there's these hidden networks that all of these nation states use for various intelligence activities, and a lot of times contracted out, and shadow banking is a part of this too. And so there's a lot of like hiding that stuff, which is kind of the layer outside of government oftentimes, I think.
And that is the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, that's what people want to get to the bottom of. That's the whole reason that these are important to people.
Yeah. But like what I'm kind of saying, that like that's the reason why we don't know all the information on any of these things. Like, I think there's a similarity that exists with all of it, whether it be even the Charlie Kirk shooter and kind of the investigations around that too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a similar story that exists there. And I think it doesn't matter what party you're in necessarily. Like, I think this is kind of above the parties. I think it's above the nations a lot of times. Like, it's much more transnational than
I would agree.
Like, especially because the CIA has, I don't think the CIA is doing necessarily as much of the stuff that it used to do back in like the 60s, 70s, 80s time frame of when we all look at like, oh, Operation Midnight Climax and all that, and all these like weird, like Stargate and all these stories. A lot of that's been kind of, I think, contracted out and exists out in the ether a little bit more. And it's kind of things that all these different nation states use in their intelligence apparatuses.
Yeah.
More so. And then they have like embedded networks in these nations that they tap into as well.
Yeah. It's closer to a cartel or private crime.
Yeah.
Right. And that privatization of intelligence as like the function that it currently operates in. But I think people still, they don't like this system. Mm-hmm. They're like, if this system relies upon this sort of getting away with something that the rest of us are prohibited of doing for moral and just reasons, like the exploitation of young women. We don't want our country doing that, no matter what the cost is. And that is, I think, the just position that the moral compass of Americans bring us to, that our government can't obey it by special rules that don't apply to the rest of us.
That's the really disturbing part about Trump resisting Thomas Massey in this way and trying to call him on the carpet and primary him and throw this money at getting him out of Congress is like Thomas Massey is holding that banner. Mm. And so what does that say about Trump's moral compass that all these people thought after he got shot, he had this come to Jesus moment and he was this, you know, devout religious man who was on a mission from God. He was saved by God to lead this country to a better place. And where the fuck are we now?
Yeah.
Where's that guy?
Well, yeah. To maybe steel man some of this is that there's probably a lot of diplomatic entanglements that exist in all of these things too. Mm-hmm. And if you just start, and it's similar, like even just look at all the foreign policy stuff and everything, like all of these things are very similar, where once you start to pull away from this one thing, all of a sudden there's like a dozen other threads that now have to be tugged on. And then that makes these people mad and these people upset. And then that creates this new conflict over here. Like there's like a deep web of all these entanglements that we're a part of. And I think that's kind of what, when we're looking at this kind of Maxwell network behind, cause it's bigger than Epstein. A lot of this stuff goes beyond, there's a lot of Epsteins out there. I talked about, many months ago on the podcast, some of the stuff that was going on with Ukraine and Russia and some of the shadow banking siphoning of money coming out of Russia that led up to a lot of the animosity and hatred of Putin back in like 2016, resulting in the Magnitsky Act is what it's called. But that came out of the Maxwell shadow banking network as well. Like this is a much bigger thing than just Epstein in itself.
Yeah. So and that's the thing. That's why Speaker Johnson is saying this will upset the global political system.
Yes. Which is like very honest. Like yeah. That is like the actual honest statement right
seriously
there.
Seriously honest. But yeah. People are saying like the global political system is a corrupt, evil system. We don't want it anymore. We want something better. And that is the right of Americans to articulate that and to push for that. But ultimately it might be kind of moot. If you look at the constraints on the bill do say that if there is a national security concern, they can redact. Now, they do have to then, what I think people are missing on this and one of the reasons why you shouldn't blackpill too heavily on it is that the text of the bill makes it pretty clear that if they do re-attack for these reasons, for these intelligence reasons or international diplomacy reasons, they have to report to Congress exactly what the reasons are. Now, that would be in a SCIF. But you have to tell every congressman, which is way broader than what we usually get out of these sorts of things, and in particular detail why. So, like, that itself is a win. It's not as big a win as everyone wants. But when it comes to actual, you know, some amount of accountability for these decisions, this bill has more than I think people are realizing.
Well, that's the hard part is if we're to live in a system where we have government and spy games. And you're never going to leave spy games. Like spy games, whether it was like this like perfect anarcho-capitalist utopia or something, there'd be private spy industries that are doing things. They'd be keeping things from the public too, right? So there's like a question of how much can the public actually know? But then also what is the system for determining how much the public should be able to know that? Like, and there's like no perfect answer to that because it's like, how are you supposed to make a decision factor? And in a sense, this is kind of the way where it's like, well, the people that the public elects, you're trusting them with the information.
Yeah.
It's like, but people aren't going to be satisfied with that either.
Oh, exactly. Because right? They don't trust their congressman either, or at least other people's congressmen so much. The trick is, and I would kind of say to that, Kyle, is I think people are still operating in the eighth grade government history class that you were told how the government works.
Oh, yeah.
And we left that behind the moment that we said to the CIA, it's okay for you to lie to the American public. It's okay for you to lie to the president if he doesn't need to know. Mm-hmm. And that itself destroyed the republic.
Well, and that's the broader cartel of this whole thing is where it's gone beyond the nation in a lot of ways, where there's these actors behind the scenes that are not even tied to one nation, it seems like. Like there's like broader mafia ideals that exist multinationally.
So like that is a choice in a system that we fund as taxpayers and by moving cocaine out of the United States and stuff like that. the central, the cocaine intelligence agency.
Yeah.
But I'm making this point, we don't have to be that country. That's a choice. So the American people have are you know, in a very blind, stumbling forward, imperfect way, trying to grasp at there is something deeply, deeply wrong with our country, and we need to do something about it. And this is a focal point for it because it's so clearly violates the moral rule.
Well, the Epstein case has become a symbol. Yeah. Like, it's more so because it's one of those things where, you know, broadly speaking of like, you know, is it going to change your life in any meaningful way? No, like that's, it's not one of those issues. And so like there are a lot of people that kind of have that, well, this doesn't even matter, I want to talk about taxes or whatever, you know, like there's that kind of contingency there. But there is kind of the symbol of whatever this movement is that has risen up. Epstein has become one of those. It's like Epstein and immigration have become like the two symbols of that in a lot of ways.
So I wanted to dig into one more, like, this is a story that came out of the 20,000 batch release that happened after the discharge petition. So there's this interesting story of this is actually an old story that reemerges with this. So like this was known some time ago with some other releases. This is actually a duplicative release, but it provoked because of the momentum of the whole moment and all the, you know, the energy in Congress. Some time ago, there was a Democrat representative from the Virgin Islands named Plaskett. And she was live texting with Epstein during a cross-examination with a Trump appointee, trying to find dirt on the Trump administration or embarrass the Trump administration with this, as Epstein is live texting with her.
Wasn't it Cohen?
Yes.
I believe it was Cohen who was
Michael testifying. Cohen, yep. Yeah. It's Trump's former lawyer. Was testifying. So I thought, I haven't found this really presented anywhere that well, so I thought we could do the text messaging for people so they could see how it would read out.
All right, Joe, you're Plaskett. Dave, great. With that sexy voice,
I'm Epstein. Epstein. Okay. You need to be a sassy black lady from Virgin Islands.
This is going to get me canceled.
Let's hear a really good Virgin Islands accent.
I don't actually know how they talk. I think the closest I could get would be Jamaica, but yeah. I won't tempt that.
Oh, come on.
Bennett, you're going to have to get the blackface for Joe. No.
Can I just comment on her attire or something?
I'll get an image for it. I'll get an image for you, Joe.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, we should toggle back and forth between their faces while we do that.
yeah, Bennett, we'll
do that in post. All right, so it's just below it.
Okay, I got you. Okay, so it starts with me?
Yep.
All right. He'll talk about his grades.
What privilege stands behind the non-release of college transcripts?
That's still you.
You didn't reply. You just left me on read. You look great. Great outfit. Are you chewing?
Like tobacco? No. Not anymore. / chewing interior of my mouth. Bad habit from middle school.
How much longer for you? He's opened the door to questions. Regarding, I assume. Who are the other henchmen at Trump.org?
Yup. Very aware and waiting my turn.
Cohen brought up Rona. Keeper of secrets.
Rona? Quick, I'm up next. Is that an acronym?
That's his assistant. This is referring to Rona Graff.
Okay, so now I'm on camera and
you press.
I press Cohen on the Trump.org name, specifically asking about Miss Rona and demanded more associates like Alan Weisselberg. Mm-hmm.
Good work.
So this happened live during a congressional hearing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like you literally have like, what do you think of like the worst terrible stereotype of like what people are afraid of is happening is a rich billionaire with shady international connections with like puppet strings
watching you on C-SPAN
feeding information off of C-SPAN.
However,
what the hell?
Of all the reps he could have chosen, the rep from the Virgin Islands is like maybe not the most significant.
Neighbor. Well,
I mean that's his representative, yeah. I guess. So
yeah, that's how she justified it. She's like, I was just texting with a constituent. Don't you just text with your constituents? You know,
you're full of shit today.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and she is on the Intelligence Committee.
It is weird that a rep from not a real state is on the Intelligence Committee.
That is really weird.
A non-voting member, right? Like, she doesn't actually get, like, a vote the same way.
Yeah, I don't think they vote.
States get votes.
But they do participate. Yeah. And I assume she comes, if she's on the Intelligence Committee, she's getting these classified briefings.
That's so weird. Which is why would a non-voting representative get classified briefings?
It is worth remembering that...
was it for Epstein?
Maybe. Maybe she was feeding him that. We don't have that information. It's speculation, of course, but... Yeah. Like, it's very strange that she's on there. I mean, I don't know.
It's worth remembering, we covered this way back in the day when this happened, but she is the one that was threatening the like Matt Taibbi with prison during during the Twitter file stuff.
Yeah, that's
right. Because she was like the really annoying person during that whole hearing, and she was like the Democrat attack dog defending the like the whole complex of the censorship during the Matt Taibbi and Schellenberger.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that now, actually. That's
same person.
So bizarre that we have non-voting representatives. Like, what's the point?
Well, you got to make sure that trophy. You got to make sure the territories don't get all uppity.
Yeah, you got to make them feel like they once shot up Congress for doing that.
Yeah, Puerto Ricans did do that.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
Word. Word.
They didn't dig that. But okay, so what happened is Republicans decided when this came out again, oh, we're going to punish the Democrats for forcing this vote on the Epstein files. So they make an ethics complaint to try to get her kicked off the intelligence community. Big deal. So the Democrats then go after another guy, Rep. Corey Mills. Get this. Corey Mills simultaneously dated Sarah Ravini in D.C. and Lindsay Langston, who is Miss United States 2024 in Florida. So he's a Florida representative. He's got two girlfriends. And
oh, yeah, brother.
Dude's a player. So his D.C. girlfriend called police alleging assault, who later recanted with no charges. The police wanted to press charges.
Oh, it's this guy.
It prompted Langston, when that came out, his Florida girlfriend, to end their relationship after 3.5 years, after which Mills allegedly threatened to release their sex videos and warned future boyfriends, and like threatened future boyfriends. Langston also claimed the D.C. girlfriend also claimed he routinely took money bags of cash from visitors. A Florida judge granted her a protective injunction in October 2025. And of course, he denies everything. But look at this Chad guy. Like, he's getting play. I mean, woof.
Money bags from visitors?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they even identified some of the visitors.
Like who?
It's in the Blaze article. I can't remember off the
top. That's crazy. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by anything anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But it was like, it was some like transnational shipping organization or something like that. Anyways.
Sounds like a front for human trafficking.
Well, serious accusations of corruption. So this is how Congress works, how partisan, how absurd it is. You have a lady who's getting the international sex trafficker texts, can't get off of intelligence community because Republicans... Because the Democrats, to protect her, threatened to bring an ethics violation for this guy. And so Republicans kill the Democrat one, and Democrats, of course, never have to bring theirs.
So many things wrong with this. I mean,
this is why we don't trust this system, Kyle. This is why people look at it like, I guess I'll burn it down. I don't want it.
Seriously. It's insanity.
Look at that girlfriend, though. Especially because he's like got the gray beard. I guess chicks are into that, huh?
Yeah, he's got the the post, you know, like the former veteran or the military veteran, cleaned up, joined Congress kind of look. You know?
Just give me the dude with the eye patch. He gives me those vibes.
Crenshaw vibes.
Yeah. And every time I get somebody with like Crenshaw vibes, I'm like, I don't trust you. it's just like there's like an archetype there that I just don't trust.
He's also got Zinky with a beard vibes, too. You see it? Just cover up the bottom half of his face.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I don't see Zinky in there. Zinky's our former congressman who was Secretary of the Interior during the early parts of Trump 1.0.
Also accused of some interesting sort of corrupt behavior.
Yeah, Puerto Rican energy stuff.
Is that just a prerequisite to be in Congress?
Apparently.
You got to have
some, say that.
You got to have some dirt that can be got on you.
I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of rules. It's easy to violate rules. Zinke's case was like, you know, order. I mean, the one like that actually got
it's like bought. Contracts with buddies type of stuff.
Yeah. 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 And then it was also like overspending on office budgets and stuff like that. But I mean, still, it's not a, it's only a small 30 degree that it's not getting live text messages and questions fed to you from a internationally renowned active. This is after 2008. He's a known pedophile at this point, you know, so.
Well, yeah, that's one of those things where that's like the peek behind the curtain type of thing where you're like, because, you know, you always watch those like C-SPAN hearings and you're sitting there like, what is going on? Like, they're on their phones. They're getting passed notes all the time. Well, these are the types of notes that they're getting. Yeah. Right?
Well, it's one thing, it's from your staff. That's telekinesis, Kyle.
Hell yeah, brother.
It's one thing if it's from like your staffer who did research on the question at hand and needs to give you facts. It's another if it's an international financier. That's a whole different look.
100%. But he's a constituent, David.
Yeah.
It's just totally normal. Everyone does it.
Dude, this is what I do with my congressman. I'm just like, hey, ask this question. They totally get back to me. All right. Yeah. So last story, Epstein-related story. Dropsite News had a new story on the Ehud Barak hacked email.
This is very interesting.
Now, I'm going to say a word. The R word. Rothschild.
I was like, that's not the word I was thinking
of. Oh, my God. Ew, David.
So this story is interesting. So basically, Jeffrey Epstein's role, again, and this is similar to what we covered last week, but I think it's interesting particularly because it's the Swiss Rothschild part of the Rothschild banking family. Him connecting this with the Rothschild Bank to finance Israeli cyber weapons. Now, it doesn't tie this directly to Pegasus or any company that I'm aware of that is like known for the one that developed it or something like that. But the basic story is after Snowden, Epstein and Ehud Barak are like, wow, we need to get in on this whole, you know, surveillance game. So he helped finance Israeli startups doing surveillance technology and cybersecurity weapons.
With Rothschild money.
And Ehud Barak. Yeah.
Well, think like venture capitalism type of stuff.
Yep. Yep. So like that's
venture capitalism for spying on everyone.
That's a way to view it. Like, this is old European banking money being connected to Israel for the purpose of surveillance of everybody.
Well, the Rothschild family were like one of the original like financiers of the purchase of the land that is present day Israel.
Yeah, the British branch of the family. Yeah. Yes.
The British branch has kind of fallen off. Like, the main branch right now is the French branch, but yeah.
It's crazy that there are different nations of branches of this family.
Well, it's kind of, you know, you have these like clan families and, you know, certain bloodlines kind of just fall out. Certain ones do more incest. Like, that's just kind of how it goes, right?
The British ones did too much incest and they're dying off. So
I think it's more so the French kept it within the family to keep the thing going. Because they looked at the Medicis and they're like, wow, they just married off all their women and then they just fell apart. Oh. And I think in France, it's probably a different story. That's how you get Macron.
Sounds like sounds scary. I don't like it.
Yeah. So like when they say that he was a Israeli asset, this is now what we know amongst all the other more circumstantial evidence. We have solid evidence in this case and demonstrates the kind of level that we're talking about when we say this is above nation states. This is at that level of... you know, trying to manipulate world systems like old international European banking money.
I love you saying manipulate world systems in that voice. Say it again.
Manipulating world systems.
Well, that's so sinister.
That's Epstein from his island. Manipulating world systems.
Yeah. And he does this by being a charming guy who's like taking this lady, Ariane D. Rothschild, you know, to dinner.
He calls her a Nepo baby in the emails. It's hilarious.
Yeah. And once again, him being bitchy, like I said, like he's.
It's so funny. He's just like, she's not even like a good Rothschild. She's like a Nepo baby. Like that's the, I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of like what he's insinuating in the emails. It's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Calls her just like because she got like a major banking position and it's just pure nepotism. Like it's just kind of like this, ugh.
I mean, it wasn't nepotism, but he was no brilliant banker or
I don't know, he seems smarter than a lot of like I don't know, like there's there's kind of that vibe. You have people like Eric Weinstein that will say, like, I met him and he just didn't really know. But I think that's just because he was fabricating kind of what he was doing. So he's just kind of like says the right things to be like, I'm a currency trader. And he's like, yeah. No, you're a money launderer. You know, like it's,
yeah. He's competent to the degree that he had to have been substantially, if you know his biography, substantially differentiated from everyone else at Bear Stearns to the point where they put him in this sketchy role. And then he got outed and then went on to then become a billionaire.
He wasn't necessarily smart. He just had compromised morals and was willing to do things other people wouldn't do and was relatively good at it.
Well, and that was the thing at Bear Stearns is he was doing the playing the box strategy where he was like doing things illegal, but he had the cover of Bear Stearns and then Bear Stearns found out about it. Like this is kind of like allegedly what the story was. And then when people do that, instead of going to the authorities, they're just like, you're out of here. Cause like it would be too much implication on them as a company, yeah. But then they just can the people and then they try to like kind of blacklist them. Right. But that's what Epstein was allegedly doing
but that Bear Stearns. But the theory is that launches his career in a money laundering and how to move international money around and hide it. And that's why he's doing estate management advising for Rothschild amongst many other people that we now have evidence of. But, so,
and my guess is kind of like, my guess is that it's like senior partner kind of Commonwealth intelligence agencies and kind of Rothschild banking stuff. And then like Israel's like the junior partner in this because like they're kind of the ones in a lot of ways kind of, you know, you mentioned, I think it was you, Joe, the Rothschilds doing most of the funding for the inherent state of Israel. Like that's like a European project in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so he's roped into that, but then you end up putting a lot of the blame onto Israel and they kind of take a lot of the blows and they can take a lot of the blows because there's so much mythology wrapped around them that kind of helps them take all those blows.
Keeping the Rothschild family covered.
Yeah. Cause Maxwell, Robert Maxwell, who seems to be kind of the progenitor of at least this network in a lot of ways, you know, the British government said that they believed he was a Mossad spy. That could be the PSYOP in a ways. Like he could have been an MI6 spy and they're just like kind of laying it off. I'm like, oh, he's just working with Mossad, you know, but like, but he's part of like this is collapse of the British Empire era. Like the 1900s is when the British Empire is like, theoretically dead. And like those intelligence networks are spanned all across the world, everywhere, in all of these countries that, you know, that Epstein has his like foot in there.
Yeah.
Right.
I have to bring up one thing since we've gotten into the international banking stuff regarding this, and you weren't here last week, but it has come to light that Epstein had a hand in funding the MIT, what is it called?
Bitcoin Core.
Decentralized Currency Initiative or something like that. Digital Currency Initiative.
Yeah.
So he was basically he had gifted money to the Bitcoin Core developers.
Yeah, at MIT. Yeah.
And that had kind of some major ripple effects, at least that I saw on X and elsewhere in the cryptocurrency space. What's your take on that? What implications does that have for Bitcoin, in your opinion?
I don't really have a take on it, to be honest.
That's a letdown.
That wasn't anything new, actually. Like that became like a thing that was, but that's,
you're not talking about the Epstein connection wasn't new. You're saying that Bitcoin Core being
the MIT funding and potentially intelligence threads and stuff like that. I think that that type of stuff's not super new.
But Epstein being involved specifically.
I guess that's a bit newer, but like he always had connections to Epstein. So that's not a crazy leap for me to make. When I heard that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Especially with what I know with how he kind of courted all these technologists. He was in all sorts of technology and he had such a deep ties into MIT as part of his thing. So that didn't seem too crazy to me.
I think if people aren't following, there is a theory that there was a time period in 2015, 2016, somewhere in there, where there was a big split in the cryptocurrency community.
17.
Called the Block Wars, right? Where in order to facilitate more transactions, Bitcoin needed to upgrade so that it could move bigger blocks, bigger chunks of data. There was a group that started prior to that that became very influential that basically advocated, no, keep the blocks small so that you can have more security on the network by having more computers be able to basically carry the ledger. Other people disagreed with that, and they were saying, like, this will actually slow down transactions, make it more expensive. It's bad for actually adopting Bitcoin as a payment method. So they said, well, what we'll do is we'll build a second layer of that, like, references Bitcoin and move Bitcoin around in fractions, and it's cheaper. But that second layer introduces a whole other set of problems. People theorize that Blockstream, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Blockstream was an effort by intelligence agencies to keep Bitcoin expensive so it couldn't be competitive to money directly.
Or to the major payments processors like Visa and MasterCard.
Right.
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 I mean, I can just say, doesn't totally surprise me to find out that Epstein was involved in BTC.
Well, this stuff is coming post BTC though. Like this type of stuff. Like post white papers and Satoshi.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, yeah,
like this is several years after the fact. Yeah.
But small block Bitcoin is what I mean by BTC.
Yeah. My thinking has shifted a little bit in a sense where I think, especially now that we're seeing kind of mainstream American adoption when it comes to the government and this White House and kind of them bringing it into Visa, MasterCard adoption, all this stuff, stable coins, all of these things, I could see a conspiracy theory of there being that there was kind of initial funding to help push the development. Because one of the problems with a lot of these cryptocurrencies is that they're all run by these foundations, and the foundations then have to end up selling their own coins in order to function. And it creates this like downward effect, you know, Ethereum, Bitcoin, they're all kind of like this. But I could see this being as a means of attacking the old world system, which is kind of the European banking finance. You know, I kind of talk oftentimes about the central bank wars between like the New York banksters versus like the European banksters, which we're talking about Rothschilds and stuff here, right? We're now these things. I think that there might be more connections into there's like this broader, there's the old British Empire system of banking that existed there. And then there's like a shift behind the scenes of trying to move on to something new. And it is kind of like this collaborative America banking project with cryptocurrency, stablecoin type of stuff that's going on there. And I could see there being kind of like, let's just see, like, this Bitcoin thing, let's funnel some money to some developers to just kind of make sure that thing kind of like, let's just kind of like keep an eye on that.
Make sure it heads the right direction, yeah. Especially as a digital gold is less threatening to various different interests than digital money, mm-hmm. right? A competitor with the dollar as opposed to a competitor with gold, which, you know, being difficult to move and heavier and more expensive in terms of like the transaction fees, you know, it does provide some barriers for direct competition to the dollar. And that's the theory.
Well, and the stablecoin side of, you know, as stablecoins continue and if they become more widely adopted as just the day-to-day currency that people are using, and there's going to be kind of this like bridge that probably exists there of, you know, it's going to be a generational divide. But as that continues to grow and those are getting backed by government bonds and whatnot, this allows kind of the debt cycle to continue much longer.
Yeah.
Much longer.
Yeah.
Longer than anybody would expect.
Stablecoins are buying treasuries as like their asset to reserve for that.
As their stable, which just provides way more demand for US dollars, provides way more demand, and just obliterates everybody. And especially the Europeans themselves, they're like, we must fight against this. This is not, you know, like they're very anti all of this stuff while the Americans are adopting it. So I think there could be kind of like seeds that sat there and were a part of this. You know, there's a lot of speculations that exist there. And, you know, and other stable coins that aren't necessarily backed by US debt, you know, those founders sometimes get found washed up on the beaches of San Juan, you know, like that sometimes happens. So
sometimes frequently.
Yeah. No, I have one particular Nikolai from MakerDAO, which is the person that I'm thinking of, but you know, that type of stuff exists there. So, but like that's why where I get frustrated with a lot of the Epstein, to bring this stuff back to the Epstein stuff, I often think, you know, people get way too hung up virtue signaling about the pedophile stuff when there's not really a lot of blackmail evidence per se there, but like this, like, banking apparatus and like the shadow networks exist. That's where the real story is to me. It's like the pedo stuff is like 1% of the story, but everybody gets keyholed in on those things. And that's where I get very frustrated. Like I get frustrated with the virtue signaling of people who like just showed up to the Epstein story after he died and they haven't been there for everything else. And they get very hyper fixated on like, Israel and pedophiles. Like, that's all that. But it's like, you're missing such the broader picture of this. Like, there's just such a bigger world that's this whole thing's
about. And that's part of why I think the Bitcoin story is really interesting. And I would love to know more about that specifically. So hopefully there's more information on that as the files continue.
It's also one of those things with the Epstein stuff. Like, he was just giving money to all these different people. Like, you know, he was, you know, he was hanging out with like Steven Pinker and like, you know, like, you know, he's trying to attract like the Weinstein brothers and things like he's attracting all of these people that are in different fields everywhere. So like, yeah, like it seemed to be kind of what he was doing is kind of like, yeah, I'll get you some venture funding. I'll help you with that. I'll help you with your project. And he, just to make sure, like, I am the access point for the people that use me into all of these different industries and fields of study. And we can keep an eye on this. And we'll, The Mossad connection, that's kind of a historical normal Mossad move, is to steal technologies from America and such, right? Like, that could be the angle there too, right?
Sure. I think to land the plane here, that there is long been speculated that that effort to keep Bitcoin expensive to move around was
it's not even that expensive anymore.
Well, yeah, I know, but at the
relatively
time,
orders of magnitude more expensive.
Yeah. Than it otherwise might have been had they changed what we're talking about. Was long speculated as an effort by intelligence agencies to keep that competition from happening. And now we have evidence of that, given you have a spy asset doing the work that he's in, giving the money where he is. Doesn't mean that that necessarily was his intent. It could have just been trying to get access. It could have been lots of things, but there's something there. There's there, given those that trace of money.
Well, I think intelligence entities 100% were wanting to keep an eye on Bitcoin as this thing. And it's probably because they're, you know, like, they're being controlled by the banks who really want to keep an eye on this thing.
Well, also,
or like the banksters, like the transnational.
It's also really helpful to have anonymous digital cash or anonymous digital value assets when you're a spy, for the same reason that Onion Network was developed by Navy intelligence and then brought out to the public so that you could have lots of noise that your agents could then hide inside of to move digital information around the internet securely. You want the same thing when it comes to your cryptocurrency, where lots of people are adopting it. And what's a better way to make people adopt it as digital cash or digital gold? Maybe they thought that was more compelling, and it had nothing to do with anything like actually undermining from competing with the dollar.
Well, and the currency in the aftermath of a lot of this stuff too, that's going crazy right now, is a Zcash, which is privacy focused.
Yes.
Like, well, crypto's kind of taking is in a massive kind of spiral downward in the moment. Zcash, if you had any money in Zcash, you're way through the roof right now, which is privacy focused, which is kind of interesting in itself.
Not financial advice.
Not financial advice. Do your own research. Well, guys, that seems like a great place to wrap up. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Human Reaction. On behalf of James Earl Jones and Kyle Mack.
Autobots roll out.
And Bennett, David, why don't you send us off with a nice, deep, sultry tone. Something. Give us something.
Catch you next time on Human Reaction.
We'll see you guys.
Is that for the stream deck?
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.